You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. Zoneradio.co.za.
The Motor Zone is brought to you by Ford Claremont. Your Ford, your choice. Get ready for the brand new Ford Territory, a family SUV touching down at Ford Claremont. Introducing the feature-rich five-seater Ford Territory, where style, comfort, space, performance, safety, and tech are at its core. Phone 021-672-1700 today to book your test drive at Ford Claremont, or let us bring the all-new Ford Territory to you. Unforgettable memories, serene vistas, and once-in-a-lifetime journeys all come with the Territory. It's your Ford, your choice.
It's 10:30 and time for the Motor Zone with James Donaghy from JSJ Motors. Hello, James, and welcome back.
Yeah, morning to everybody. I said you having problems with your thing, yes. Not going for your op. I was having problems with my daughter being sick, and then yeah. I was told I was going to be a grandfather. So I'm quite
So all in one.
All within a week.
Congratulations.
You know, my son in Australia is going to be a daddy, and I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Is this the first? Is it
yes, the first one. This is the first one. So I'm quite excited about it.
Yes,
just to get out there and visit him.
So you will. So congratulations.
No, thank you. So we're talking about our new sponsor, Ford there.
Yes, unfortunately,
I've got some bad news about the Fords there. If you own a little EcoBoost, they come out in the Ford EcoBoost little van, and they also do the 1,000cc three-cylinder EcoBoost motor. It's got the three-cylinder. I think I mentioned this before about the wet timing belt. There's a worldwide recall, as far as I know, to replace this belt before it breaks. The reason, before it strips, because it runs in oil, it makes it weaker. And with the contaminants of the fuel and the oil, it makes it scares it. The teeth get ripped off. And what happens is these can also lead to brake failure. Reason being, it's got a vacuum pump on the top of the head, and it works in a vacuum system. So, it's drawing oil because the oil gets fed through the camshafts and things like that, and that's which is fed by the timing belt, and it runs around there. But what can happen is pieces of these belts can get into the vacuum pump and cause vacuum pump failure. So the car might still be going, but the brakes get very, very hard. So that's normally what happens when a booster goes. You can push the brake and you can stand on the brake and the car hardly wants to stop. So I would go and check that, have it find out, because all these debris and things like that, it also gets into an oil pump and the oil pump stops working and it can end up seizing the engine. And you've got to make sure how they're going to cover you. This is worldwide. I did see something on the thing that was all about Americas and Europe, the UK. The guy was talking about it and he has seen the bulletin. So go and find out about that, or find out someone to do it for you. It's not a cheap job. I can assure you that.
I think it's important. So if it's a recent recall, then
it's recent. Yeah.
Yes. Then they need to contact the agents and get it sorted.
Find out if your car falls under that guarantee of having the belt, or they'll come to you 50-50. I'm not sure how they will do it, but it is very expensive to do. It's about a 10-hour job. It's not the easiest job in the world.
No.
It's working worse than working on some of the Italian cars.
So if they've got concerns, then they best get hold of an agent and get it sorted soon.
Yeah, speak to them. I'm sure the guys at Ford will help them and let them know. They just have to give them their VIN number, see what it is. But normally, like I say before, they were doing them at 200,000-something, then they came down to 200,000, then they came down to 180, then they came down to 150. And the guys are seeing them break after, I think, 3 or 4 years and about 90,000 Ks, if not before that. But that's also to do with time. You've got to remember time.
Yes.
A belt disintegrates after 5 years. Basically, 5 years, replace the timing belt, irrespective of what mileage you do. And some of them, but it's the oil, if you don't drive enough, also causes a major problem. So be careful with that. It is quite scary if it goes, but it is expensive. It is very expensive. There's special tools involved there.
Good morning, Hazel. How's it? Hazel says, what year's EcoSport does this affect, please?
It's the 1,000cc three-cylinder. Phone your agents, get them the VIN numbers, and they can assist you in some way, letting you know. I'm not sure of everything, but yeah, it can. I don't know when they came out. But if your car's more than 5 years old, I'd be worried about it.
Yes. So Have you got that, Hazel? Contact your agent.
Yeah, and I just to let them tell you, but it is expensive. There's other people that had total failure, and it's cost them 50,000-60,000 rand to do the motor because Ford haven't come to the party. They don't believe it was their problem. Meantime, worldwide now, they realize there is a huge problem with these with the oils, and if you don't put the correct oils in the engine, it also causes premature wheelie. Well, that's what they reckon it was, but I think it's just a bad design.
But I think at least now they're admitting.
Yes, you know, yeah,
so that's a good thing. That's a good sign.
You know, a lot of times South Africa gets the arse end of the stick.
Yes,
but believe me, this is a worldwide. If you go and Google it, timing belts, EcoSport, 1000cc, a little thing. You'll see a lot of people complaining about it. I do a lot of homework before I do this, so it's not as if I'm just pulling this thing out or whatever. I do my homework and do check it. Then my piece of useful information for today before we start with everything else. You know, with all the condensation and that on the cars and the windows, everybody gets into the cars. They don't want to take a rag and wipe their windscreens or their side windows, and you get to an intersection, you can't see it. Go and buy yourself a little squeegee. That you know, like they use.
Yes.
Just take a squeegee and go around the windows with and you just wipe it off and dry it. I tell you, it'll clean the windows with a squeegee. You can see perfectly by the time you get, you know, when you start to driving, at least you can see traffic, especially if it's dark. People don't have their lights on properly. Another story. So at least you can see the road.
Yes.
Especially if you're leaving early in the morning. Just take the squeegee, do your windows on the side, do your back window, and then do your mirrors at the same time. Believe me, it helps. I do it with mine, because especially if you're staying somewhere where there's a lot of moisture.
Yes, especially where we stay.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of a useful hint. That's what I find. It helps for me, and it definitely does work if I leave in the morning early. Yes. Okay. So next one is also bad news. The vehicles that are being hijacked the most is an epidemic in South Africa. It's a multi-million rand industry that
was on the news recently.
That was at the motorbikes on, I don't know, Carte Blanche on Sunday. Yes. That was the motorbikes. It is huge. This has been going on for years. These guys know how to hide things. They dismantled it within
seconds.
2 hours. The car's dismantled. Whatever the guys need, they just take it. All they do is they're leaving the VIN number behind with part of the shell, but everything else they can use, it's gone. It is gone. They strip it, put it into containers, not even into containers, into trucks, and they pack everything around this truck that it looks perfect. And they make it so difficult for the South African police force to get in there to have a look at. I still think I don't know if they have a big radar that they can, well, x-ray machine that can do it. That's what they do overseas. They pick up stolen vehicles and things like that. Even from Europe, they steal a car, it's in a container, and they can pack two or three cars into these long containers, if not four. And they pack them, they even take the wheels off so they can get the space to fit another car underneath it. They use things just to put on top of one another. You don't think they can do it, but they do it. And it's gone out of that country. They know when the container ship is leaving. They've got the guys at the ports. They put it into these containers, get the truck, load it up. It's on the ship within 24 hours and gone. So if you want to see your vehicle, it's somewhere
up the
coast.
That's why you never get them back, some of them.
Yes, you never get them back. And there is what they're saying, about 5,500 cars are stolen or hijacked in the past 3 months. You do the maths, it works out to be 1,800 per month and 60 cars a day. That's what we know of.
Yes.
You know, so... But a lot of these are destined to go to Mozambique, Zimbabwe, especially the 4x4s, anything to do with a 4x4 off-road vehicle, any popular car. So, like I say, you've got to, like I've said this before, speak to your insurance company, find out what's a high theft. And also another thing as well is find out about service costs as well, because believe me, some of the costs are ridiculous. So most of these things get over, and a lot of guys don't realize that when they steal the car, if they've hijacked your car, they've got the key. So what they'll do is they take the key, they'll take the ignition lockout, they'll take the immobilizer lockout, they'll take the computers out, because that all goes combined. Even the clusters, your instrument cluster, especially like on the Opals and that, instrument cluster, and everything's interlinked into everything. You can't just go and say, I'm going to put another ignition lock in there, and the car's going to start. It doesn't work that way. There's little. They take everything out and they sell it as a unit.
They know what they're doing.
No, they know exactly what they're doing. And how they do it, it's actually quite scary.
And it's not just midnight shopping. This happens during the day as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. No, it's not just after dark motors. It's plain broad daylight. They steal these cars, the Ford Rangers and the Toyotas, within 30 seconds to a minute, it's gone. You turn your back. You walk into. By the time you walk to the shop, your vehicle's down the road. And there's definitely a lot more. It's even the motorbikes. I mean,
well, I've heard of someone with a rocket. You know, a rocket.
And that's 600 kilos.
And he's. I mean, I don't blame him for being upset, but it's gone. They actually stole his rocket.
Yeah, and it's If anybody knows, I say that it's a rocket. It's a big Triumph. It's a 2.5 or 2.3 cylinder. One of the biggest motorcycles you can get, and it's extremely heavy. And these guys just take it, load it,
gone. Yeah,
and you think you. Great, everything secure. No, they don't.
No.
But there is a thing on the market again. Almost looks like a USB stick. Actually, is a USB stick. And what happened? It's very similar to the older jack plugs you used to put in.
Yes.
These guys are selling them. I can't remember what they call them. You can get that system. It's just an extra system to assist with the. Even get brake locks or clutch locks. They used to fit them years ago. Used to turn it with a key. It used to block the hydraulics, so you couldn't push the brakes, couldn't push the clutch.
Give them time, a longer time to.
No, it's one thing they couldn't do. They could tow it away, but they couldn't actually drive it away. So that was one good thing. Even the gear locks, the best gear locks I think I saw was on.
But these criminals are so wise.
Oh, they're wise.
They always seem to be a step ahead of, no matter what you produce, they're ahead of you all the time.
Well this one, it's difficult. It's just the extra system, and it does slow them down from stealing the car. Like I say, if it does steal it, they're going to have to tow it away. So it's easier to see it being towed with your tracker. But they dismantle the tracker so quickly, so they know exactly, well, more or less where the tracker's going to be, unless it's and that's why there's such honesty when you're going to have a tracker fitted. You don't see where it's fitted, and the guys have got to go through a special test to see, be honest and see where they fit.
Yeah.
But money talks, and you got to do that. But these guys, like I say, they are very, very quick. CarTrack say there's local shops are at about 442 million rand per year industry.
Ooh.
So that's in stealing cars. So that's the cost of the trade. That's a lot of money. So and another that's just the cost of the vehicles. It's not excluding what it's cost the person who's got the car. So you've got the car, even if you insure it, there's always a shortfall that you have to cover.
Of course, there is.
And unfortunately. You still short end of the stick.
And the insurance companies are starting to tighten the belt now.
Yes, they are, definitely. So, yeah, then it just puts up where you stay, things like that. It's going to put up your premiums and things like that. But you can imagine it's 442 million rands worth of stuff that's being stolen. It all gets stripped and whatever. But like I said, it was always a shortfall. And unfortunately, you're the one that pays for the shortfall. You've saved up your year's life. And when if people go through the trauma of getting unemployed or losing time at work and things. The first thing they do is they always tend to cancel the insurance on the car.
Because it's a lot of money. Is the first thing that you
it's,
know when
it's the hit, easiest thing to cancel
when you hit hard times. Yeah,
but sometimes don't do it. You got to think twice or go to a lower premium or something like that. Because if you're involved in an accident or someone hits your car. At least you've got some liable cover for it. So don't just go ahead and do it. It's not an easy thing. I know I've done it once, but do yourself a favor. Don't do it. That's just my little piece of advice as well. Useless thing.
I think it's quite an important message to
think
put
about
out
it.
There.
You don't want a negative fear of having an accident, but if it does happen, at least you'll be covered and you don't have to worry about coming to trouble for you to pay because they want to sue you for it. And it's not as if you have a lot, you're just going to lose everything. And if you have an accident in your car and you're not covered, there goes your car and they can sue you for the money. So be careful. I would rather just, like I say, you used to have the old 30 third party fire and theft, take that out. I don't know if it's how it works at the moment.
It's built in now.
I don't think it's built in. You've still got a. It's not. The built in one is for your road accident fund.
Okay.
So that's, we're still getting. We end up paying for everybody that's never even been here. So. And it costs us a lot of money. It's a thing. It's a law they've got to change somehow. Like I say, especially we go back to the stealing things, your tailgate and that on your bucket, make sure that's secure. Make sure you have a good lock on that. Try and keep everything covered so that people can't see in it. Same as on your front seats. Don't leave anything on your front seats. Don't leave anything in your back seats. And if you've got a boot, a little boot, make sure it's covered so people can't see what's in there because they will just break the window and they get it. Make sure your wheels have lock nuts. Don't buy a set if you're not sure, especially if you stay in a high-risk area. If your car's parked outside, after dark motors will apply to this thing. If you don't have any lock nuts, they will come and take your wheels and leave you with a nice set of bricks. Look, bricks are about 2 rand a piece now, so you can get a couple of bucks for them, but you won't get wheels back. And also another thing there is if you don't have insurance, you end up with that cost of your car being fixed. So go and fetch, I think wheel nuts are 200, 300 rand. Put them on your car. Believe me, it just saves them because they struggle to get it off.
Is it about 200 rand a set?
It's four wheels, so you've got four lock nuts.
Yes.
Put them on. Keep the lock nut secure somewhere. Don't just leave it in your cubby because the guys know they'll break the window and find out if it's there. You know, so put it somewhere safe. Hide it somewhere in the car but where you know it is.
Yes.
And just remember if you have a puncture that you can... And make sure make sure your wheel spanner fits that lock nut.
Oh, wow,
because you don't want to get stuck on the side of the road with a lock nut that your wheel spanner doesn't fit. You know, someone might put it on for you. You go to a place, the guys will fit it, but you haven't got a wheel spanner for it. So just make sure that does work as well. Also, if you've got an outside wheel, that the wheel's underneath the car or like a bucky underneath, get a lock nut for that. You get special long bolts with a special lock that it can't steal the wheel because they steal the wheel in 30 seconds as well. They'll park behind it, go underneath, take the spare wheel, and off you go. Because normally your spare wheel is normally a new tire. So, yeah, do that. Try and park in a busy area with lots of light or something like that. I'm just trying to see what else. Avoid driving through high-risk areas. I think we all know that. Make sure you've got a GPS or something fitted to it. I think there's a lot of little GPSs you can buy on the market now. Cheap ones, if you want to keep an eye on your car. If you can't afford a proper GPS or through CarTrack or something like that, you can buy a cheap little like an AirTag, they used to call it, and you put it in the car, hide it somewhere, and you can keep it with your phone. So you can see if your son or your daughter is taking your car at night, and you can see where they're going. I'm sure our parents did the same thing, but they didn't have the technology
got. I'm sure.
Because we were a naughty bunch of buggers. There's another thing, Toyota as well. Toyota, who was it? It was Honda, Suzuki, and Yamaha. Because Yamaha do make vehicles as well. That these cars, they've recalled a couple of million rands worth of $1 million worth of cars because they haven't passed these strict safety measures. So there's a lot of people in Japan. So I think that also could help with the slowness of cars getting out there from Japan. But there's a lot of people that have been fined millions of yen and things like that to stop this happening. I'm just looking what cars it was. Affected vehicles, Corolla, the Yaris Cross, Lexus as well as also, like I say. So these cars have also been, they also do funny things overseas as well. But when they get caught, they do it quickly and they put these guys in their place. So they can't just do it as they think. The cars have got to go and do their NCAP safety rating. And if someone, you find with a lot of the bigger companies and honest people, you'll always have a whistleblower. And they'll tell you something's not right there. Let's go back and get it done.
And check and get it done.
Mazda as well. Mazda stopped the shipment of the Roadster FR Sports. I don't think we get them here, but we might. We get away with it. We all get away. They don't get away with it. They're that easy. And what happens is they can end up getting jailed for it.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that are in charge. Even the CEO doesn't know what's happening down on the floor. But if the CEO of the company gets caught, be careful. They will. They can end up going to prison for stuff like this. They do make sure it's a thing. And the cars, best-selling car brands for a couple of months now has been Toyota, Suzuki, Ford, Hyundai, Isuzu, Chery, Nissan, GWN, and then Reynolds. And the Buckies has been the Hilux, the Ranger, the D-Max, that's Isuzu, Mahindra Scorpion, and a Toyota Land Cruiser.
So those are the popular ones.
Those are the popular ones.
But Suzuki has become very, very popular.
Yes, Suzuki is, like I said, it's the right size, right value. The price is right. And people, you just got to be careful, certain Suzukis, one or two of them have had a little bit of a rust problem. So just keep an eye on your Suzuki with rust. Especially down here where we are, and then you have to bring it up. With, that you would have to go back to the agents, speak to the agents about the rust. Look, you're going to stop all of it from happening. But if it's a new car and it's within its warranty, I can't remember, it's in the book, it'll tell you 3 years warranty on the body parts and things like that and paint work, that they have to cover as well, because I'll have to go and clean it all up and respray it.
Let's read
like
the
that.
Fine line.
Yeah, read the fine, fine, read the fine, fine lines, because my yeah. goodness, they know how to hide everything behind it. It's, so say terms and conditions. And then Fiat 500, I know you're not a bad little two-cylinder, 800cc or 1000cc. I don't know why everyone don't make it. They were going to go to electric vehicle. They're going to try and make one electric, but they're actually going to do hybrid now. Instead, they say it's just better. They said, you know, electrical vehicles are, they're still going to be high. I think we're getting them slowly more, yeah. But hybrids are the way to go at the moment.
I see some electric cars catching light. What is the cause of that?
It's bad. Well, ships are burnt because of it. They've lost millions and millions of dollars worth of like 350 of high-end cars, Mercedes, Benz, BMWs. Because the EV cars have caught a lot. So what happens is they don't get stored properly. That's the biggest thing. And if the batteries overheat, and when the battery overheats, it can explode.
Yes.
If everybody shows you the picture of your cell phone and the guy's overcharging or something like that. It could also be bad fitment, anything. But motor vehicle, diesel or petrol, doesn't tend to do it that much. But the problem is when the EV vehicle catches a light, you can't just put it out because you've got the gases and things
that's
like
right.
that. And there's a lot of plastic. So when the plastic starts to burn, you can't just put it out. And
I don't think all the fire departments
haven't been trained properly. Yes.
They'll get there. I just don't think. Well, it's how many electric cars are in South Africa?
No, there's not enough. But like I say, overseas they do take them and test them to how to put out electric vehicle fire, how to cut the battery. That's the biggest thing. How to get the battery shorted out.
Yes.
But once it goes, don't expect it back because it's just going to go. It's just going to burn. So, yeah, it's like a wheel, a car tire or something like that. And once that catches a lot, you won't just put it out unless you have the proper high pressure hoses and things put the tire fire out, because once the rubber goes, that you can also wave your car goodbye.
Yeah.
And it's quite easy. You know, people, and that's another thing is people should realize if you've got a little bit of a petrol smell coming through the car while we're on fires, have it checked out, because what happens is over a period of time, rubber hoses go a bit weak and they perish, especially the older vehicles, and you can get a small petrol leak. It doesn't have to be much. Drips onto something electric, it gets a spark, bang, on fire on the side of the road. So if you get that, get someone to check it out for you. You'll smell it when you put your fan or something. But even you're walking past the car, you get the strong smell
of
petrol. Yeah, you do it. And then there was another case of, I was watching something there on Sunday about the guy saying, how far should I fill up my tank? And they say the same thing. Go to the first click. So as it comes to the first click, stop, leave it there. People talking about evaporation.
That's a good
and
tip.
How much thing. They say you don't need to go more than that, because all you're doing is filling up the neck. And what happens, you can end up damaging the system that's in the car. What happens is there'll be no evaporation because it's a sealed. All the newer cars now are sealed. So it's got a carbon filter, and the carbon filter takes the gases and creates it back into the tank as well, so it becomes like the fluid again. So you actually don't lose any into condensation.
The petrol attendant should be told this as well, because if it's the first click, they should stop.
No.
But
they're trying to sell as much petrol as they can. So just, I mean, you see the taxis going on the side, they're going to do long and thick. But the problem is they're also spilling a lot on the road. They just don't realize it.
Yes.
You'll get an extra 70 Ks out, I think, if you fill it right to the neck. But you're also going to lose another 70 Ks because on the older vehicles, it gets thrown out. So had a little pipe and this pipe led into the atmosphere. So what happens is it's a breather pipe. And this pipe used to hang out the back of the car, well, underneath the tank, you won't see it. And it used to let all these fumes out. So what they've done is they've taken that pipe and they put it into a separate system. So the system first uses that and it puts it back into the tank. So you don't lose any fuel and you don't get that fuel smell. So it's all evaporation and it goes into the carbon. It's a sealed system that works. It's quite a complicated little story. If that gives you hassles, the engine light ends up coming on, and oh, God, there's a lot of other things. Yeah, so don't just worry. First click, you're fine.
You're fine, yes.
You're fine. Don't worry about it. That's what I would recommend. Just go to the first click, stop, leave it, and you'll probably find you'll get exactly the same mileage filling it up that way as to going in the other
That's
way.
That's a good tip.
So do that. Isuzu, I think the new Isuzu is coming out as well. There's a 4x4. And what was that? Yeah, Ford celebrates a 1 millionth Ford Ranger built at the Silverton plant in Pretoria.
In Pretoria?
In Pretoria, yeah. Silverton plant. Oh. So they got a million Fords.
Really?
Ford Rangers. I think this goes back to the older Ford Rangers as well and the newer Ford Rangers. I don't know if the Mazda Drifter and that work under the same thing because it's exactly the same vehicle, yes. Just certain differences there, here and there. But yeah, there's things. So, and also there's two new type of Buckies coming out to South Africa, but we don't see a half-tonner yet. There's no one bringing out a half-tonner. Which I think the South Africans love a little half tonner compared to a full one tonner.
Yes, yes.
And it doesn't look like anybody's thought about that. You know, I did see something about VW, and they also had a little half tonner as well. So it would be interesting if someone, one of the big motor manufacturers, started doing it. I mean, we prefer the half tonner to throw away rubbish and that, and put it into your good vehicle with all the grass and stuff like that. And you know, that's us.
It's handy.
No, it's a handy bucky. I mean, we had the Nissan 1400, which Richard still got his. A lot of people are still driving them around. Then you had your old, I think, the Toyota. You had your old Toyotas, the little 1200 Toyota, small little half-ton bucky. They never brought that back. People used to love it. It wasn't for big people. And I think Nissan saw that gap. And Nissan then improved it by making the cab bigger. I think they called it the Champ. And that was the thing. So, yeah, I mean, these little half-tonners, I think, because the MP200 is actually also a highly theft car as well. But very, very popular. People want these smaller vehicles, and I think people have the companies have just
I think
gone
petrol,
by the wayside.
Petrol reasons as well. We're going smaller because you know it's more convenient.
Yes, well, they're making smaller vehicles. Why not? You don't have to keep a one-ton bucky if it's not convenient for everybody else. Yes. You know, so I mean, that's my personal opinion. I still like my Opel. And yeah, so it's for me that's cool. Then the Chevy also did the last thing they. Did away with their buckies as well. Also, I think it's a silly thing.
Have they done away with their
Chevys? They've done
Chevys?
Away with their buckies, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But will you still be able to get parts for this?
You can get up to. We're struggling to get more and more parts. Not everybody's bringing. There's certain things you struggle to get, but you can get them.
And what a pity, because, I mean, we've got one.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a
look
a
on the internet. Now, if you're struggling to find parts.
No, I'll leave that to you.
Google. You've got to Google, and more Google, because sometimes it doesn't always come up what you're looking for. The Chinese might name it in a different way.
Yes.
It's like a lot of problems, like I say, down here, tank sender units, a fuel tank sender unit where it tells you how much fuel is in your car.
Yeah.
I've never replaced so many in my life as down here.
Yes.
They rust and they fall apart, disintegrate. Depending on what vehicle, look on the internet, you should be able to get it imported. And it's a lot cheaper. I think the one for the X-Trail, the guy got a quote. This is what he told me. He said that the guy's quoted him about 10,000 Rand. Shop around, you can get them. I'm not going to tell you the price, you'll have to do a little homework yourself. But yes, there's a lot cheaper.
But you see, that's why James from JSJ Motors is around.
I spend a lot of time on the internet trying to find parts for the people. You know,
I'm sure you
so,
do.
It's so difficult. I mean, even this, but some of the parts I can't fathom where the guys are coming with these prices. And that's what's scary. It's like I said before. If you're not sure of your vehicle, go and Google and find out from the dealers how much. Your first service, you know, is not going to cost you that much.
Yeah.
But your third, fourth, fifth, how much is this for a set of brake pads? How much for a set of brake discs? Things like that. Go and Google and find out how much it's going to cost you. Because as it gets later in life, everything's got to be changed.
Yeah.
And I think after 100,000, every 10,000 case service your car, because most of the thing, it goes up to about 100,000 to 120,000 cases. That was my recommendations with the fuels that you use and all things like that. Yeah, so that's it.
That's it for us.
Almost there. Yeah, so that's
it. We are there.
We're trying to get. We're getting there. You know, it's such a busy time.
So, James, you want to put out your number?
Yeah.
Thank you.
081-070-4919. I do remember it now. It's
like, yes, you do.
Brain hasn't gone. And I know you have to print it down.
So if you've got any issues with your vehicle, James will be there. And, James, I know you will take calls, give advice,
yep.
And you are always on hand.
As long as my hands aren't full of grease. As long as my hands aren't full of grease and I'm underneath the car, I will answer all questions.
There we
it's
go.
Not a problem.
Thank you, James.
See pleasure. You, have a good one.
See you in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Ciao, ciao.
Cheers.
The Motorzone was brought to you by Ford Claremont. Your Ford, your choice. Get ready for the brand new Ford Territory, a family SUV touching down at Ford Claremont. Introducing the feature-rich five-seater Ford Territory, where style, comfort, space, performance, safety, and tech are at its core. Phone 021-672-1700 today to book your test drive at Ford Claremont, or let us bring the all-new Ford Territory to you. Unforgettable memories, serene vistas, and once-in-a-lifetime journeys all come with the Territory. It's your Ford, your choice.